Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Folks, and welcome to the January 25th edition of Dead Pit Radio. Creepy Kentuckian is here, but I have a special, very special, special education style co-host. It's the B-Plan, Steve ST3B Benningfield. What's going on?
I'm not sure how to respond to that, so...
You don't like your new nickname, the B-Plan?
Well, it's better than some of the stuff you've called me, so I guess it's better than those.
Buddy, I have been nothing but flattering towards you. Oh. You know it over the years, Steve. You've been one of the only people... Well, I got to turn that Facebook thing off. Did you hear that?
I did.
That bullshit on Facebook, man. What the fuck is that shit, by the way?
I just turn my chat off and nobody bothers me.
Well, it's not the chat, though. That's like whenever somebody just replies to you or something. It makes a little boop.
It doesn't do it on mine.
Well, it does it on mine. So you better deal with it.
Yeah. So it's a big problem for everybody.
So anyway, I closed my Facebook off, but yeah. A lot of stuff on Facebook. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, actually. We got the Royal Rumble this Sunday. We're going to talk about that. You excited about that?
Yeah.
We got a lot of new releases coming out from Arrow Video, which we haven't talked about that in a while. But I want to talk about you, Steve, for a little bit, because you've got a lot of big things happening, buddy. I'm excited for you.
Oh, God.
Take us back there, Steve. It's about a month ago, a little bit under a month ago, you proposed to your longtime girlfriend, Dana.
I did.
And what was that experience like for you?
It was kind of, in a way it was anticlimactic because I knew what the answer was going to be. It's not like a surprise. I guess that's kind of like way most people do it.
Oh, so you're saying you got an ego? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. No, there's no way. Hey, there's no way she can say no. Look at me, well, man. I'm fucking Steve.
Dana is very romantic and, and she's actually said it to me in the past. If you ever asked me to marry you, I would say yes. And, when you're ready and all this stuff. So, right. It's not like that. But it was just a question of when. And I decided it was, because I know it would make her happy. And, I know that was the road we were on. So I had a couple gifts for Christmas that we had a Christmas the weekend before New Year's Eve. And then I had her choice of two gifts. But she picked the wrong one. And it had my Eli Roth Thanksgiving shirt in it. And I told her, well, you're not keeping that. And then I gave her, I said, here's the package. And then I got the ring out and gave it to her.
So her gifts were the engagement ring and Eli Roth Thanksgiving T-shirt.
Well, I took that one back. So I actually got her a fanzine called Creepy Images. I saw it somewhere for a good piece of money on eBay, or not on eBay, but on one of the websites that sells DVDs. And then it had one that was Evil Dead related, and I know, of course, Dana's all over that. So I gave that to her so she would have something for me to open up on Christmas.
Hell yeah. But I thought your original plan, because you told us about this a while back.
Oh, boy.
You was going to wait until New Year's Eve. And it was just my assumption, just because I thought it'd be cool to do this. As the ball is dropping, that's when you should have done it, Steve. You should have totally, like, you know, because at that point, she would probably have been like, well, shit, he's not going to fucking propose. What in the fuck is this shit? Of course, and Dana's not going to say anything. But at that point in time, she would be thinking that you're not going to propose. And then all of a sudden, bam, there you go, motherfucker.
Well, she was pretty surprised as well, way I did it. But yeah, the plan was probably going to do New Year's Eve, but we were going to exchange gifts then. So I thought, well, we'll just get it out of the way.
Get it out of the way. That's a good way of putting it, buddy.
I know, it's romantic.
I just wanted to get your feedback on it because Dana, she's been posting stuff like crazy on Facebook every day. I've got like I could make like a 3D picture of that fucking ring because she's taking so many pictures of it, you know, from all different angles. And I haven't heard much from you, Steve. You was in the video she shot on New Year's, and you didn't really say much. You was just doing your typical, yes, yeah.
I was tired.
No. Whatever. God, you were tired. You kidding me? You better liven up, buddy, because this show, it's going to be an action-packed edition of Dead Pit, whether or not you fucking like it or not.
I shotgunned a Diet Coke, so I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Well, I guess I should, since you mentioned it, you mentioned pop. That's what we call it. Do you call it pop, or do you call it what? What do you call it, soda?
No, pretty much in central Kentucky, and I mean, in most, I guess all the way up here, at least that I see, everything's called Coke, even though it may be Pepsi. It's called Coke. We just say, you got a Coke?
We always call it pop.
Well, okay. That's because you're Eastern.
Whatever, buddy. There's people up north that call it pop, too, so I don't want to hear that shit.
It's just called different things in different parts.
Anyway, let me explain it to you, Steve. Let me say what I was going to get to. Okay, fuck whatever it's called. Soda for you fuckers. Soda pop cook. I've been in the process over the last 3 or 4 days trying to completely quit drinking it. And it's about killing me.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. I've had, like, at the least, a slight headache. At the worst. At the worst, a severe headache at the worst of times, so.
That is, right?
What is that?
That headache, you know what that is, right?
Caffeine.
Yep.
Yeah, so. But, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, you know, everybody drinks, you know, has had a problem with it, either quit drinking it or whatever. But I figured, I mean, it's just fucking expensive anyway, and I'm drinking too much of it, so. And I don't like the taste of diet pop or diet soda, so wow. I'm just not going to drink it at all eventually. That's what I'm trying to do.
I like Diet Coke better than I do regular Coke.
Yeah. I just don't like the aftertaste of it. That's the problem. I guess it's the whatever the fake sugar shit is they put in there.
Well, I drink the cheap shit like the, what's it called, Big K?
Fake Big K.
Big K. It's only like $2 a 12-pack, so you can't go wrong there at least at the moment.
You know, the thing is like, what I was finding myself doing was like, you know, it was just a habit of just opening the fridge and grabbing something to drink, and it was always a can of pop. So it ended up being 5 or 6 cans a day sometimes, so. It's definitely, and I saw something on the news that was like, of course, I don't really drink Coke that much, but like, I guess that's the most sugary, like soda there is or whatever. It has like 6 tablespoons of sugar in one can. That's pretty crazy.
I mean, definitely it's, doesn't make sense to drink it because really you're drinking sugar water and it's, you know, I mean, I went from a little bit of milk when I was a little baby to Coke and I never drunk water till I was like 17 when I was in the Army and that's all we had for a while. So it was, I mean, I've done good, in the past of maybe drinking 2 Cokes a day, during the week and drinking water. But, you know, now I'm drinking a lot more Coke.
Well, what I've been doing last 3 days, I've drunk one a day. And it hasn't been too bad, but we'll see.
Mm.
So what else is there to talk about, Steve?
Anything? Well, I mean, I was got online today, and then someone shared something on Facebook about the original ending of The Shining, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Now, I'm a little, you mentioned that. I think I was talking to Adam Hewlin, who I get, like, the 35mm prints from, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, see, I was always under the assumption that it was at the beginning of the movie, and they cut out some sort of thing with Shelley Duvall in hospital or something like that.
I mean, that's what the scene was, but, I mean, according, it says the finale, so after they find Jack Nicholson frozen in the snow, they flash to her and Danny Lloyd in the hospital, and the guy who run the, or, you know, gave Jack Nicholson the job comes for a visit, and he gives Danny Lloyd that little ball that they were, was rolling around to him.
Right.
And so,
now, where did you hear about this at, actually?
It was another, I can't remember the website, but somebody pasted it on Facebook, and basically what they were saying in the article was that the movie was already out and playing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hoover
came that.
Back and recut it, so, you know, any video releases or, I don't know, whatever, that's the cut, not the cut without that finale, and some of the critics said that that was probably for the best.
Right. What I always heard, though, was they had your initial limited release, right, like that a lot of movies have, like a premiere weekend release. They'll have, you know,
test release or something.
Yeah, 20 cities or something like that. And in that original release, they had that version in there. And evidently after the first weekends, Kubrick had, I guess, Warner Brothers or somebody called and told them to manually cut out that film in that section or something like that.
Well, they're saying that it was shortly after U.S. release, he sent out assistants to excise the scene from dozens of prints showing in Los Angeles and New York. All known copies of the scene were reportedly destroyed.
Right. Yeah, and we were talking about that with I was talking about that with Adam, because I don't think that scene has ever gotten out at all, has it? Like, even deleted scene or anything?
No.
Which is kind of weird, because I was, and I talked to him about it. I was like, is there a chance this is just completely bullshit? But evidently there are photos floating around of it, which I haven't really looked into too much. But
also, in the credits, they have two characters listed in the credits that don't appear in the movie, and they're from those scenes.
Oh. But it's just weird, like, that they would never include that on a DVD or something as an extra or whatever. I mean, why not? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it looks like Kubrick pretty much had every copy of those scenes destroyed. So, I'm sure they would, or unless he left very strict instructions not to put it in there, like he did for, you know, a while. They had all these shitty full screen DVDs out there of all his movies.
Right, but the thing is, I mean, there would be a negative of that still. I mean, all the stuff that he shot, all that shit's owned by Warner Brothers. So, I mean, I don't think that they can, that he would have the authority to destroy that shit. That's all I'm saying. So, it must exist somewhere, unless it, you know, got misplaced or something in the vault or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I mean, it's never surfaced in 30-plus years, so it may be lost.
It could be lost in a dream of mirrors, lost in a paradox.
Oh.
Yeah. Something else, though, we're going to do a little bit later on, since I know you're a big fan of this sort of thing, and Uncle Bill's not so much, honestly, like the Mario Bava stuff, which we had an idea about, you know, every time we have you on here, we could discuss two Mario Bava movies.
Mm.
That way we could give detailed reviews on them.
Right.
So. We got Baron Blood. I actually looked at the new Blu-ray from Kino, and one that I picked that I thought was something else, but we'll talk about it anyway. Roy Colt and Winchester Jack.
Steve, yeah.
You excited about talking about that?
We can talk about it to a degree because I had to turn it off.
Yeah, as did I, but we'll... yeah, I think I got through about 20, 25 minutes of it.
That's about what I could... That's about my tolerance for it.
I was like, ah, fuck this shit. But, like, yep. Yeah, I mean, this was one that I don't think anybody had really talked about or... Well, one of the lost movies, I guess, of Bob. And usually a lot of the times when something's lost, it should more than likely just stay lost, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, there was another one years ago that Synapse released called Effects, and that was a lost movie that had never been released before. I think John Harrison directed it or something, and it was awful. I don't know if you ever saw that.
No, there's a Bob a movie that was lost, and it's in the set called Rabid Dogs, and they kind of, he died before they technically finished it, and they released it, and it's pretty good. But sometimes, yeah, some of these movies that are not being seen,
right,
are crappy.
Yeah, I mean, all the Italian filmmakers, I mean, you know, even Fulci, I mean, we're both big fans of Fulci stuff, but fuck. I mean, he had more shit movies than he had good movies by far.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was one I was watching, I can't remember exactly when it was made, called Red Monks. So I was, like, excited because, hey, it's one of the Fulci movies I've never seen. It was, like, real bad.
Yeah, he had a lot of bad stuff. I mean, I only think, like, you know, maybe five, maybe six decent movies that he did. The rest of them pretty god awful. But anyway, like, we're not really, as far as this show goes, we're not going to really have a strict, segment style show like we do with Dead Pit, because, you know, why should we? This is a special show. So, I guess we can go ahead and talk about the ball of the movies. Hell, if you want to. I mean, fuck, it's no big deal. I mean, there's some other stuff we should talk about. We already kind of touched on the ball of the movies anyway. So you want to go ahead and talk about them, Steve?
Sure. Which one you want to get going first?
Let's just go ahead and finish off Roy Colt and Winchester Jack.
All right. So, most of the movies in the sets are in English and in this one is subtitled, which I was like, I thought for sure that this would be dubbed, and when you start watching it, it's pretty apparent that it's supposed to be a comedy of some sort.
Right.
And so.
Well, else I noticed, though, is at least Brett Halsey, like one of the leads, you could tell he was speaking English. Like, and they just dubbed it over in Italian, which I thought was a little weird, but I mean,
did you notice when one of the guys was making out with that Indian chick that they showed her boobs, but she had like a white tape over her nipples?
Yeah, I did notice that. I was like, what the fuck? I mean,
they couldn't afford like skin colored or anything. White's a little bit more obvious than any other color.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, I don't know why they even. You didn't even have to really shoot that either. I mean, if they could have edited around that, but I guess, I mean, this really looked like a cheap, really, really cheap production too. Like, this one was made, what year was this made in? Had to be in the early 70s, I think.
Either that or late 60s. I mean, I guess it kind of looks more like a 70s movie than a 60s movie, but yeah, it's, they were looking for gold or something, and I was like, I got some. I'll watch freaking Baron Blood.
Yeah, this movie kind of reminded me, and I hate these movies too, but they reminded me of the Trinity movies. Have you ever seen those?
No, I mean, I have, but I know I've seen them, but I've forgotten them because they've been like in the early 80s. I saw some of the Trinity movies. I think they updated them. you know, like they were cops or something. But as far as remembering them specifically, no. But, I mean, I saw clips of the original They Call Me Trinity or whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, the thing is about those is, like, you know, and the reason I compare the two, yeah, they're Westerns, they're supposed to be comedies or whatever, but they're comedies that aren't funny at all.
Yeah.
And I noticed it with this. I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe Italians have a different type of humor or something than we do. I have no idea, but, like, I just didn't, you know, I see where it says on the back that it was, you know, a tongue-in-cheek comedy, spaghetti Western kind of. But, like, I didn't really get anything that was funny about it at all. Like, maybe I was just being a little uptight, or maybe I was too tired to notice. But, like, this was just one of those movies where you, like, you put it on and you keep waiting. You're like, okay, so at some point something interesting is going to happen. But it just never did. And it's a brief movie. It's only an 85-minute movie, but I couldn't even make it through half of 85 minutes.
Nah, it's brutal.
It's brutal, dude.
Yeah,
but Brett Halsey's in it. He did a lot of shit overseas.
I met him. I mean, I didn't meet him, but he was at a certain convention, and I was in a Q&A with him and John Saxton talking about the Italian days and stuff that went on training them and stuff.
Yeah,
back
was,
in the stuff.
What other stuff was Halsey in? Wasn't he in like a Fulci movie or something?
Well, he was in that movie, a Fulci movie called Touch of Death.
Okay.
Where he, in it, you know, they used part of that in The Cat in the Brain, where he was cutting up and eating people or somebody.
Yeah. But let's see, who else was in this? Yeah, a bunch of Italian people. I don't know who they are.
Yep.
Bruno Corazin is in here. You know. I actually, we were picking these movies out to watch, and when I picked this out, I got this confused with a movie I'd already seen and I liked, which was Knives of the Avenger, which I don't think is a straight up Western or anything, but it's along the same lines as like a, you know, a spaghetti Western, but it's a really good movie. And you know, this was, and I think that's a movie that Bob is kind of known for a little bit, right?
I always thought it was more of a kind of a sword and sandal movie, as they called them. But, I mean, I don't recall ever seeing it. It's in the pack or in the box set, but I haven't watched it.
I can't remember exactly, but I just remember thinking it was more like a Western or something. Maybe it is one of those. But, I mean, I remember liking it. I'll say that. I remember thinking it was pretty good. This one right here, yeah, I mean, it, you know, this is just one that I think when they came out with those box sets that they were like, yeah, we can get this for nothing. We're just going to throw it in there so we can, you know, add another, you know, whatever, 8 Bava movies or something in one set. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, most people like, and I do like spaghetti Westerns. I mean, I like the original Django and the Man with No Name trilogy and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, this is like, yeah. This is a different, this is a horse of a different color.
Yeah, it's not, one's not like the other.
No. But, and the thing is like, a lot of the Bava movies, too, like you were saying, I mean, they did have the, they were dubbed over, you know, because they were, I think they made most of their money in the United States, a lot of them. But this one, yeah, this one had the subtitles, and I don't even know, maybe this one never came out in the U.S. I have no idea.
I mean, it's possible it never did, because usually they'll have, I mean, I would assume that they would have released the, I think most of, kind of pretty sure that all the other movies in both sets have English tracks.
Yeah. Well, because so, the thing is like, you know, if people don't know, in Italy, they never recorded the audio, I don't think, until
for a very long time.
Yeah, just a few years ago, actually. And, like, they would always dub it over. So if they didn't have an English dub track, I mean, you would almost guarantee that it's never been out in the U.S., at least in a theater or anything. So, But that was Roy Colt and Winchester Jack. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So what was the next one up, Steve, that we had?
It was Baron Blood.
Right, baby.
I remember seeing this movie on the 4 o'clock movie back in the 80s when I was a young fella.
You sure it wasn't the 70s?
It could have been the late 70s, but it was more likely the early 80s.
Yeah, Baron Blood. You know, and Kino actually just came out with the Blu-ray of this, which I watched. And it, you got to get the Blu-ray of this, Steve. I mean, they did an amazing job.
Now, is it the same? Is it like incredibly like Scream Factory or like their transfers or?
Well, according to some people, they don't like the Scream. I know your fiance was complaining about the Terror Train transfer.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but she was very outspoken about it not being too hot.
You know, the truth is, like an older movie like this, this one came out in 1972, something like that?
Yeah.
You know, certain scenes are going to look better than other scenes, but I think most of the movie looked pretty amazing in this. You know, when the, I don't know what methods they used when they were putting, you know, back in the day when they were putting the, you know, your opening credits and all that, but it seems like a lot of the really older movies, like when they're playing the opening credits, it does look really grainy for some reason. But after that, it really improves and starts to look really good.
Yeah, I was watching that on the DVD from the set, and I was like, oh, God. Because it was rough looking at the beginning. I mean, I've seen this where it looks like it's kind of like it's being projected over a brown paper bag. That was the kind of the TV version that they were showing on local stations. So the DVD looks 100 times better.
But the movie, you know, if you want to talk about the movie.
Well, it's kind of stupid. This retard comes in from, I guess, America, and he meets his uncle that he's never seen. And they're talking about this ancestor that was, I guess, a killer or crazy person.
Baron Otto von Kleist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, like, he just keeps going on about him. Then they go to the castle. They stop there, and then they meet up with the people that they're supposedly changing into a hotel or something. And Elkie Summers there looking real good.
Elkie, and, baby. Elkie.
And then they keep on talking about it, and then, like, he has some kind of parchment that he found or something that's supposed to bring Baron Blood back to life. And what does he do? He wants to go read it in the middle of the night.
Right.
Okay. And weird shit starts happening.
He still wants to read it.
And he comes back and does it again, which, I mean, I don't know. He deserved to get his ass.
And then finally reads it correctly and everything happens, like, doesn't the wind or something blow it into a fire?
I thought it blew, at least the way I was paying attention. It blew it, but it didn't go in the... It blew it up in the chimney a little bit. But I know something burned, so I can't...
It caught on fire, though.
Okay, so I guess maybe it fell back down or something.
The little script that he was reading off of or something.
Yeah, I mean, God, it was just so stupid.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a really fucking hokey-ass movie because there's... Interestingly enough, though, people need to watch this because, like, during that middle little segment there when the Baron finally comes back or whatever, it's almost like a damn slasher movie, wouldn't you think? Like, he kills people left and right almost like a damn slasher movie for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And it was kind of a cool effect where the door was kind of, you know, like, I don't know, it looked to me like the door was kind of folding in or something, but yeah, like he comes back to life and then somehow he knows to go to a doctor's house. I don't know how he knows that since he's probably been dead for 200 years or more.
Yeah, and then there's something with like Mario Bava movies too and Iron Maidens. Have you noticed that? Like he's got some sort of fucking weird ass, or he did have some sort of weird ass fascination with that shit.
Well, I think it was mainly with a lot of different torture devices, but I mean, he does kill a few people, and he kills this old drunk guy, and in one of those like coffins with a bunch of spikes.
That's what you call an Iron Maiden, Steve.
Yeah, but I mean, usually Iron Maiden's standing up, and it's kind of shaped
well,
like.
Well, fuck.
If you want to get technical.
Whatever. Whatever it's shaped like. You know, I mean, as far as Balva stuff goes, like, you know, this one is decent, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not one that, like, you know, I mean, I'm a little shocked that they actually have a special edition of this out with a lot of special features and stuff on it. It's a, I mean, it's a decent enough movie, but, you know, compared to Black Sunday, Black Sabbath, you know, movies like that, I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of those Jess Franco and Jean Roland movies that came out on Blu-ray as well. So,
do you want to go rolling?
Yeah, we could go rolling with Jean. That would be a good one to watch all this slow-moving vampire.
I actually heard, like, and I've got it over here, but I haven't watched it yet, the movie of his Grapes of Death or something like that. I heard that was pretty good.
I like that. I mean, it's definitely different than some of his other stuff. So, yeah, I like it.
I'm excited they're coming out with the Blu-ray special edition of Zombie Lake, though, because I'll definitely be getting that one.
Yeah, and Oasis of the Zombies.
Yeah.
So.
But, I mean, Kino, like, from the stuff that I've seen so far, these guys do a great job for their Blu-rays. Well, I mean, you know, and they have like a weird, because they have White Zombies, another one that they just came out with. They focus more on like the, you know, some of the classic horror stuff, you know, pre-80s and usually even before then, you know.
Well, I've heard good things about the White Zombie transfers, saying it looks amazing compared, you know, based upon its, you know.
Well, I'll have to watch it and see, because I have it.
Well, you should definitely, you know, give it to me.
Well, that's one of those, I'm not giving you nothing.
Ah!
That's one of those movies, though, it's like a public domain movie, so usually people right. don't want to, you know, they want to spend the money restoring it.
And they're charging like $26 for it, so it's like, dude, you're not going to, no one's going to pay that much except a bunch of nerds. Well, and I'll wait till it goes down.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff's expensive, like the
all those.
The Pete Walker collection, which I have too. It's another, it's like $70 some, something like that.
I watched
that's crazy, man.
The Comeback. You should watch that.
Because most people are going to be like, who the fuck is Pete Walker?
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he was that known of a filmmaker. I mean, fuck, it's fucking Pete Walker. I mean, his most famous movie was Frightmare, and nobody really knows what the fuck Frightmare is.
Well, he did Schizoid, right?
Yeah, nobody knows what that is either.
I watched a little bit. I think me and Dana watched it, and I kind of like put my head down, and I was out.
Yeah, it's a good movie to cure insomnia. But Baron Blood, like, they have a Mario Bava collection, I guess, that they're doing, like, with a lot of these AIP movies that Bava did. You know, you got audio commentary with Tim Lucas, which have you ever listened to Tim Lucas audio commentaries? I think he's done almost all of the Bava movies on the DVD sets.
He's got the giant Bible of Bava that goes for like $250 or something crazy.
Yeah. You got alternate title sequence. You've got original theatrical trailers, radio spots, other trailers of Bava movies. And the Blu-ray, you know, I thought it looked really good. I got to be honest. I was a little surprised that it looked this good because, you know, Bava movies are typically lower budget movies, you know.
Well, I mean,
traditionally.
You look at, I mean, you had the Blu-ray for Bay of Blood.
I've got the Arrow Blu-ray.
And I mean, it looks pretty damn good. So
yeah,
I get it. Just depends on the negative they're using and stuff like that. I don't know. Sometimes they're not going to be able to clean up a bad print.
Yeah, baby, that's what I'm saying. Something else though we should talk about since we're talking about Baron Blood.
Yeah.
Joseph Cotton, Steve. Yeah. Joseph Cotton. He's the star. He's basically the Baron in the movie. And, you know, it's interesting because he was like the star or one of the stars of Citizen Kane. And he did a lot of really, you know, critically acclaimed movies in like the 40s or something. And he, you know, kind of went from that. And not saying, you know, no offense to Mario Bob or anything, but horror movies in general are like, that's usually the nightmare of these type of directors to, you know, go from Citizen Kane to fucking Baron Blood. But, like, I think all this happened because the guy was, I'd heard that he's an alcoholic or something like that, or he was, and nobody would work with him in Hollywood, so he was doing, like, lower budget foreign movies, stuff like that. It's just kind of funny to think about, you know, you've got a guy that was in Citizen Kane, and he went on to do, like, a low budget Mario Bob, and it, you know, he was the lead role in it, but still.
I mean, he's done some other low budgets before that. I mean, I think in like in the late 60s, he did one called The Frozen Dead. That used to be on TV a lot where they froze a bunch of Nazis and then he, I don't know, he's involved in thawing them out or he's the one that froze them or something.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably done more than I'm thinking of, but I just remember like he's back in the day, people were really complimenting his acting and all that.
I see.
Hello?
Hello?
The fuck you going on about, Steve? God damn.
I'm saying, I don't know.
So anyway, that's the Balva movies, I guess. And, you know, whenever we get Steve back on here, we'll talk more about Balva stuff. Because you used to do, Steve, you used to do, before you started jumping to one podcast to, you know, another podcast to a horror talk radio show.
Yeah.
You used to do the Eurocult stuff, talk about that stuff almost every week. You quit that.
Yeah, I did. I actually thought about doing a one-time show about stuff like that, but I you got to have the drive and the passion to do it on a regular basis, and me and Dana want to do it, but it's got to wait till we're together so we can do it a little bit better and more easier.
It's easier to do it when you're together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's more fun.
Yeah, I can poke her and, you know, pull her hair, and she has to keep a straight face and not let anybody know.
Right, she can pull your hair.
Yeah, my short and curlies.
So, anyway, what we're going to do, we're going to take a break. I think it's time to take a break, and then we'll figure out what we're going to do next. We'll probably talk about, there's a bunch of things we can talk about, so we'll hit you with this break violently. Be back here on
DeadPit.com.
You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com. Until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe. Mm-hmm. The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Obese, he's busy cranking out some of the most high-quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check them out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect.
So, you think you're untouchable.
Word life, this is basic thugonomics. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Word life, this is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me.
Whether fighting or spitting, my discipline is unforgiving. Got you backing up in a defensive position. An ass-kicking anthem, heavyweight or phantom.
Hey, this is Nathan Hanneman from Horror Hound Magazine. You're listening to Dead Pit Radio.
Oh, wow.
And we're back to Horror Talk Radio with the Creepy Kentuckian and me, the fill-in host, Steve.
The B plan. Steve.
Plan B.
Plan B. Steve Plan B Benningfield. That'd be a good, that's a good name for you.
See,
because your last name is Benningfield and it's a B. So.
I like Bulk Benningfield better.
Oh, it doesn't matter what you like. speaking of which, though, wrestling catchphrases, Royal Rumble is this Sunday, Steve. And that's actually traditionally one of my favorite pay-per-views to watch. I always love the Royal Rumble. I don't know. It's just the match itself. It doesn't really matter, you know, how shitty the product is. The wrestling's always, in the Royal Rumble's always at least entertaining, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, I always remember the one back in the day where the winner was going to be the champion, and it was, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Sid and Hulk Hogan got eliminated, and he pulled Sid out, and Ric Flair became the champion.
Yeah, I remember, I have vivid memories of that because, this is weird, because my grandmother, I was at my grandmother's house, she was going through chemotherapy and eventually would pass away from cancer, but we were up there every weekend, you know, taking care of her and stuff. And I was like 12 or something at the time. And the Royal Rumble was that night. I couldn't watch it, but I could listen to it. It was scrambled.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And it was, fuck, I mean, that was one of the, as far as watching a pay-per-view goes, that was one of the best ones that I ever watched, believe it or not. And I didn't really even get to see it. I could just hear it and kind of see it every once in a while.
The only one I watched like that, unfortunately, was the one when Owen died. And I turned it over, and it was scrambled, and I heard them all talking. It was, like, real bad.
Yeah, that was bad. But, yeah, that show was amazing. Like, that Royal Rumble match, too. Like, that was one of the best ones ever, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the one of the Ric Flair DVD sets. I think it's the first one. My niece, for some reason, started, like, wanting to watch Ric Flair all the time. For, you know, it was a phase. She doesn't do it now, but so we watched.
Wonder what in the hell caused that?
I don't know. I guess the Nature Boy got to her. I don't know, but she was a lot younger. She's like 17 now, but so we watched the Rumble, and I didn't tell her the outcome, and she was really excited that Ric Flair won.
Yeah, but this year's Rumble, like, a lot of people are already saying Cena's going to win it, which I think would be retarded if that was the
case. Well, I mean, that's what they're leading up to with CM Punk and The Rock is, you know, The Rock's going to win the belt, and then Cena wins the Rumble, and then they have their rematch, and then Cena wins the belt, and then he gets the rub from Rock.
Yeah. But see, I mean, that's just too predictable. Like, that's the thing I hate about it now. Because, I mean, you could come up with all kinds of scenarios to make it interesting again, but they're not going to do it. I'd be surprised if they did. You know, here's the thing I would do, man. Here's how I would book it. And people can write this shit down.
Book it.
And I guarantee you this will be better than anything they do. You've got your CM Punk and Rock match, right? Everybody is predicting the Rock's going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to bring Brock Lesnar out there. He gives The Rock the F5. CM Punk keeps the belt, right?
Mm.
That leads to Rock versus Brock at WrestleMania. And that's a fucking match right there, okay? Whether or not it'd be any good or not, I don't know. But fuck, that'd be something that would build and would, I think it would be an amazing little program they could do there, right?
Well, what I mean, what you could do, you could do two things, which I don't think they'll do either, is somehow, CM Punk wins and they make it a triple threat for at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
The other direction would be to include Brock Lesnar in there, and you have a fatal four-way with all four of them at WrestleMania, the first time ever.
Yeah. See, I think, you know, you don't – CM Punk shouldn't lose that belt until WrestleMania if he's going to lose it. Like, I would not do it at Royal Rumble.
Well, you know what's going to happen? I guarantee you that whoever takes the belt next is not – I mean, if it's Rock, he's going to lose it because he's not going to stay around. He's going to lose it pretty – you know, within a couple weeks or a month or two. And
I don't think so, man. I think he would keep it until Mania if he wins
okay,
it.
Okay, well, still, but I mean, it's only 2 months away to, you know, 2 months and some change. It's either, you know, that, and then if Cena wins it, there's no way – no one can put up with Cena with that belt for a year or more like they did with Punk.
I mean, I think that they should do something, though, and this is what they used to do with the Royal Rumble. Yeah, and they've done it before. I mean, it's not a regular thing. You know, the one time where Benoit won it, and it surprised the shit out of people because they were like, wow, really? Benoit? You know, why don't you do something like that and have the winner not be anybody you would expect to win? Because, I mean...
What I would like them to do is get down to the final four get down to the final five, and they eliminate Cena, and all the other four guys are newer guys. It's never had a title match.
Right.
That would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a perfect opportunity to just make somebody, you know. And I'm not saying, you know, push somebody that doesn't deserve it. I mean, my choice to win the Royal Rumble, and a lot of people were probably like, what the fuck? I would pick Daniel Bryan to win it just because he's doing something now that's like kind of irrelevant a little bit, but it's entertaining. The crowd loves this guy. You know? I mean, he's selling merchandise. He's great on the mic. He's entertaining. He's an amazing wrestler. And you could even go push that match at WrestleMania, CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan. And they've never done this before either. Bring the whole thing with Shawn Michaels in there, that Shawn Michaels helped train Daniel Bryan and all this. Make him a part of it too. Mm. Because they've got a man, the Cena thing, fuck. He's been in there so fucking much. You've got to do something new. You got to bring some new people up. And I don't know why they wouldn't do that with Daniel Bryan. Like, he's one of those guys that I think deserves it, really.
Well, I mean, I'm all for Daniel Bryan, because I've watched a lot of his older matches where him and Nigel McGuinness would go out there for an hour and just go through all kinds of crazy shit. So, as far as just athletic matches, I love to see a match with them too. I just think that they've got like a mentality where Cena has to be in the main event no matter what. And in the past, even when Cena didn't have the belt, his match ended the show.
Right.
That kind of really devalued the title a lot, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because you can't – that's supposed to be the main thing in this company, and you're saying, no, not really. It's just all about Cena. I wish – I mean, what they should do is, like, give Cena, like, 6 months off so we can get a break.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you never – you know, and it's not his fault, really. I mean, I think for what he does, what they give him to do, I mean, he does a pretty good job. But it's like, I mean, the thing I can compare it to is like when the Dudley boys were there, right? They never got injured. They were always there. They weren't bad or anything, but you just got sick to death of them because they'd been there for like 6 or 7 years straight. And the people just need a break from him, you know, but Cena's like their number one guy still. They're not going to, they don't seem to really care about giving anybody else a chance, you know, at that top, you know, level there. But
well, you could say that Triple H is now making a lot of changes, or they're not actually recruiting bodybuilders and all these and other stuff. They're actually going out and getting independent wrestlers and bringing them in, like, you know, El Generico, other, you know, like Chris Hero and then, right, you know, Antonio Cesaro. They got him, you know. So, yeah. I mean, they're actually bringing in people that can actually wrestle and entertain, because I saw El Generico and, you know, just a couple miles from here when he was in Ring of Honor, and he's a hell of a wrestler, and he knows how to work a crowd. I mean, you're getting guys that's been out there wrestling for many years, and they know how to wrestle, but of course they have to go to WWE University to get their to slow it down so they don't, you know, kill themselves by working so many dates.
Right. Well, I'm surprised they haven't went after the Briscoe brothers either, like those guys, especially since it seems like they're doing more with the tag division now, a little bit more at least.
Well, they said I saw that they posted that they had a tryout, then one of the guys said, nah, we've already done it, and they didn't like us years ago, so they haven't. Because that one that's got his front teeth knocked out, he's fucking funny. He's really just a goofy. Goofy son of a bitch.
Something else is interesting, though, going back to the Royal Rumble and all this, like, Dolph Ziggler still has the Money in the Bank. What? I mean, I've never seen anybody take it this long without cashing it in. Like, I don't know how you do that. Like, what do you do now? Does he wait until WrestleMania to cash it in? Because I don't think anybody's done that.
I think that's what's going to happen, because if it goes like everybody's saying, Cena's going to win. So he can only go for the WWE title. So who's going to take the other title? And then he's just going to do it then. They also heard that they're going to maybe turn him babyface.
They need to do something, man, because
he's been in like a zone for so long. I mean, everybody knows he can go.
Yeah, but the thing is,
a lot of support. They just need to go ahead and go full force without, and not like they've done with other people where they go and then they stop and then they go and stop.
Putting AJ and that Big E motherfucker, like, that's just bullshit, man. Like, they need to, I don't like that at all. Like, he needs to be by himself, I think.
Well, I mean, either that or maybe that heard people say he should be with Flair as his manager.
But yeah, like, they've kind of tried to do that shit before.
Yeah, well, they've got really Flair even, you know, with The Miz, trying to give him some street cred.
Dude, there's no fucking hope for The Miz. They might as well put him under a fucking mask and give him, like, a new gimmick or something. That shit's over. Well, that's another thing, too. Like, you know, if you want, I'm sure some people will be pissed off for talking about this, but fuck it. I haven't talked wrestling on here in a long-ass time.
Uh-oh.
That's just the whole thing with Alberto Del Rio. That's bullshit, too, man. Like, that's just a forced push they're doing.
Well, I
like,
heard
that
he
just
was
comes out of nowhere.
I heard he was unhappy and getting ready to leave, and that was kind of like what one time they did that with Rey Mysterio, too, is they give him the belt, and it's like, are you happy? And it was funny because, like, a couple weeks ago, he ran over Santa, and he got the crap beat of him by John Cena.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, now he's a face.
I don't know. There's a lot of things that's questionable, to say the least. Like, and hopefully, you know, and usually around this time of year, they do something that's a little bit out of left field that kind of gets you interested. I mean, something else, too, like, who does Undertaker wrestle this year? That's another big one.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking it was going to be Brock Lesnar.
Ain't no damn way.
I think that they would probably get into a real fight.
Yeah, I don't see that happening just because, like, you know, Undertaker's too fucking old. He's too broke down.
I guess it probably would make sense that if CM Punk loses, then it's that's his kind of saying, you know, I'm going to prove I'm best in the world by ending the streak. So I think that's a more likely scenario than because there's really no one else around that would make it a big deal except CM Punk.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we could see something like that, but I just don't.
What about going to be? I mean, there's no one else that's going to make it a big time match.
What about Foley?
I don't see him doing that. I really don't think that wouldn't be a quality match. I mean, they're not going to be able to recreate what they did in the past with the Hell in the Cage, Hell in the Cell.
Hell in the Cage.
Hell in the Cage.
That's a new one right there. I never did.
That's the TNA version.
Hell in the Cage. So, yeah, Royal Rumble, I'm actually looking forward to it. It's the first pay-per-view that I've bought since WrestleMania last year, so I'll be interested in seeing how it turns out. Like I said, it's usually my favorite pay-per-view of the year, even beating out WrestleMania. So, because WrestleMania the last couple of years was pretty shitty, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, I stopped buying it because I bought it 2 years or more in a row, and it's like, dude, it's just not worth it.
Yeah, especially since I started raising the price and shit, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just like, nah, I'll find out about it in 24 hours.
Yeah, so, I mean, my prediction is, you know, just wanting to be creative. I'm sure Cena will probably win the Rumble, and Rock will win the title and all that, and they'll set up Rock and Cena, too, for WrestleMania, which, fuck that.
I mean, that's going to be a major letdown. I mean, I guess if you do have CM Punk versus Undertaker, that'll be a draw because you know that that's going to be a pretty good match compared to his last four matches between Shawn Michaels and Triple H. I mean, all of those matches were pretty good.
But
were the best matches of the year.
I'm going to stick with, you know, if they do something creative, CM Punk retains, help from Brock Lesnar, setting up Brock versus Rock, and then Daniel Bryan wins the Rumble, just to be creative. Not like I'm expecting that to happen, but, you know.
I think if that happens, it's more likely that Cena still wins, and it's Cena versus Punk, and Cena goes over for whatever reason. I mean, how many times is that going to make him a champion? About at least 10 or 11.
Yeah, he doesn't need the belt. I mean, but whatever. I mean, they still see him as the big guy there. And
guarantee, I think there's going to be a limit. They're not going to let anybody get it as many times as Flair. Because Triple H has got it like 13 times.
I don't think anybody even knows how many times Flair had it. Like
that's not even really the official. Cause, I mean, there's other times he won it and lost it that they don't even keep track of. But
yeah, so that's the nature boy for you, though. I'm sure he's glad to be back in the E, to be honest.
Yeah, didn't he have a new wife or something?
Yeah, new contract, new wife.
Yeah, that's what he gets. Oh, I think he got the wife with the contract.
Yeah. So, I guess, like, let's see. A couple more things to talk about on here, and then we'll get out of here. We were talking about this on the Midweek Obliteration, Steve. The Arrow video. Mm-hmm. New releases then, because they've been kind of low key, wouldn't you agree, for like the last year or so? They only had like maybe one or two releases that was noteworthy.
I guess since they, well, I do know that of course they had problems with that riot or something where they got a lot of their inventory destroyed. And also around the same time is when they were forced to region code their shit. So around that time period is when it kind of died down.
Don May Jr. got mad at him.
Yeah, he put an injunction in international court of the DVD and Blu-ray.
It's kind of funny because if you look at it, honestly, like that's such a small group of people that are going to order shit from Amazon UK anyway. Like, why? Like, I just don't get it because I'm sure it's less than, you know, most of the people over here in the U.S. are never, ever going to order anything from the U.K. and have it imported anyway. I would say less than maybe 2%.
Yeah, I mean we both found deals, even with shipping, the shit was cheaper than it was over here. I guess the biggest case of that would be that Universal Monsters Blu-ray right. set was like, you know, $40 cheaper to get it from there, and you get that casket box. So, but yeah, I mean, most mainstream people are not gonna buy from over there, because I mean, sometimes even if you do get it, you're dealing with at least a $10 shipping and handling.
Yeah. Well, the thing too is, man, is like, you know, a lot of these titles they're coming out with are obscure titles. Like, it's not like any of this shit's going to be in a store anyway.
Not in these shores, it's not.
No.
For Arrow, yeah. And know, even if it was,
even Synapse. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a Synapse movie in a store.
I've seen Scream Factory, but I've not seen Synapse.
Yeah.
Maybe in the old days, I think in the old days where Best Buy, I think they had them in there, but nothing within the last 5 or 6 years.
No. But I mean, I don't know for sure if who was complaining to them, but like anymore, like all their releases are all region, like the region B, isn't it, or whatever.
Yeah.
And all these are too. Like, they announced a bunch of stuff, including steelbooks and everything else, which I didn't understand. The one thing I didn't understand about the steelbooks is the biggest release in that would be Black Sabbath, right? Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I mean, you could, I guess, I mean.
Why didn't you have a steelbook of Black Sabbath? Why would you pick fucking,
Well, they got like Foxy Brown's got a.
Yeah, but fuck. Nobody gives a shit about that compared to Black Sabbath or even Blowout. Yeah. Another one they had, the steelbook. I think it was a steelbook of Blowout and Foxy Brown.
Well, I mean, there's two different groups. There's Blaxploitation people that love that shit. You know, I mean, that's two different groups of people. And some people are the
I'm not steelbook crazy anyway, but I'm just saying, like,
yeah, you know,
that would be one that I would do the big special edition on, would be Black Sabbath. And something else that's weird, too, like, well, just go through some of these. You know, we mentioned Foxy Brown. They have Blowout, the Brian De Palma movie with John Travolta. Oh, my God. You have, what was the Motel Hell?
Yeah.
Which that's a pretty cool one right there. Like, I'm sure eventually.
That's the one that gets my attention.
Yeah, I'm sure eventually somebody will release it in the U.S., but who knows when that'll be.
You think that would be a Scream Factory since
yeah.
all the stuff they released.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, especially since I think that's an MGM movie, and they've been releasing a lot of MGM stuff. Some of it actually got in today, which I'm sure you're aware of.
Yeah, I'm aware.
And they have, you know, MGM logos and stuff on there, so that's more than likely a Scream Factory release at some point. I'd be shocked if it wasn't. What else was that? Knight Riders, that's a pretty cool one. The George Romero movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, Black Sabbath. And I think they have their own release of Baron Blood they're coming out with.
Yeah, and I think they already they announced that they releasing stuff like, you know, Black Sunday. I think they showed releases of that that's been, going out, so...
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, a lot of good stuff. I think, unfortunately, though, for them, a lot of the people in the U.S., I mean, you and I both have the region-free Blu-ray players, but not everybody right. can be ballers and shot callers out there. So a lot of these people aren't going to be able to watch these movies over here unless they have the player. So,
right.
That makes it a little shitty because, like, the older ones, you know, they're region-free for whatever reason. They got away with doing that for a while, but not anymore.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, I got a few of their DVDs as well, like Sleepless. I got that on Arrow DVD, and I got the I think I got City of the Living Dead on DVD just because of the extras.
Right.
And then, of course, I got the Blue Underground Blu-ray. So, I mean, and then I think I'm not sure 100%, but I heard they were stopping all the different extras they used to do, like mini posters and, you know, reversible covers and stuff like that was just going to be kind of like a, you get that to be a separate edition, and you'd have your standard edition, which wouldn't have those extra things.
Yeah, I actually thought about, because we ordered the Funhouse, which was, they've got a region free version of the Funhouse and a region B version.
Yeah.
And we got ours before they switched over to region B. And oddly enough, I never opened that one.
Ooh.
So I still have it sealed, and I actually have the Scream Factory release, so I thought about maybe putting that up on eBay and seeing what it would go for.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it. It looks really, really good. I don't know. Dana's got the Scream Factory one. It's got a commentary on the Arrow one from the guy who wrote about Teenage Wasteland, about the slashers.
Right.
What's that? The Hysteria Lives or something like that website. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed that commentary. I know that's probably not going to be on this one, but I like that.
Yeah, I think a lot of this stuff, though, that we will get to see in the U.S., like you're saying, maybe even Scream Factory. And I actually like the way Scream Factory, I mean, a lot of the artwork and stuff that they have, I don't really like. Like the prison one I got in today, like, I don't know how that ever, you know, how anybody ever greenlit that as the final. The only big problem I have with the cover is Viggo Mortensen. Like, they should have just taken him out there, because it's just ridiculous. He just looks, it looks like something a little kid would make or something. But I really love the way that they set up, you know, they have their collector's editions with the slipcover and all that, and you know, how they all kind of look a little uniform
with just, yeah,
you know, I think that they do a great job, and Arrow does a great job too, but you know, if I had to choose, I would say that Scream Factory does a slightly better job with all the you know, the packaging. And so I think a lot of the artwork most of the time on the Arrows are better, but I don't know. I don't like the white cases and stuff. It's just a little too bland for me.
I like it. I mean, I think it's the little mini posters with their older releases. I guess some of them have like little cards inside. And I mean, when I first got the Deep Red one, I was like, whoa, this is awesome. With all the extra little doodads.
Yeah. But, yeah, the Arrow stuff, I think all that stuff's coming out, what, in March, April, something like that? So,
yeah,
it'll be pretty soon.
Coming out overseas.
It's coming, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
So, last thing up on here, and I don't know how big of a Star Wars fan you are, Steve, but we had to mention it on here. Had to talk about it. What's your history with the Galaxy Far, Far Away?
It was one of the first movies I ever saw on VHS back in like 1979 or 80. I didn't see any of the original three in the theater, so, or at least back then I saw Star Wars when they re-released it with the, you know, in like 97 or whatever.
Well, you saw the special editions.
Yeah, but I've always been a Star Trek guy, so I'm more into Star Trek, but definitely I really like Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back. The new stuff was, the Phantom Menace was really horrible, but the Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith were good movies to look at. They were very pretty, and then the special effects were top-notch.
Right.
So, but yeah, I'm really, after seeing the last Star Trek movie, I'm a big fan of J.J. Abrams, because, I mean, he can take an epic story and still have it, but he has like a very tight personal story at its core. So it's like it's a very weird, because he does it with all his stuff. It's always the same thing, is where we have a bunch of people interacting, or couple people are interacting, which is kind of really a small story within this bigger, larger story. So it's very cool that he can make stuff like that. It's epic, but it's it's not like out of control epic.
Right. Well, and the news, I mean, it's everywhere. I'm sure everybody's heard about it, that reportedly decided that J.J. Abrams is going to be the new director for Star Wars 7, Episode 7, whatever the hell they're going to call it. He beat out Ben Affleck for the job, which is, that's a weird fucking choice. Ben Affleck?
Well, he's his last few movies he's directed is, I mean...
yeah, but he's never done anything like
no,
sci-fi
No, he's only done
related.
Drama, yeah. So yeah, he has not done anything.
I mean, I agree. I like the movies that he's done. I haven't seen Argo, but...
right.
You know, The Town. I thought that was an amazing movie. And then what was the other one he did? Didn't he do one with his
Gone,
brother?
Gone, Baby, Gone.
Yeah, I liked that one, too.
I did, too,
I thought
yeah.
that was a good one. Also, like, Brad Dirty Bird from Mission Impossible. Guillermo del Toro. David Fincher. That would have been cool to see him. Maybe they can, one of those guys can do the sequels. But, yeah, I mean, I think that this is actually a great choice. I know that he denied that he was going to, you know, be the director on it like a couple months ago or something, but evidently it's true. I mean, he's signed on and they've got to hurry the fuck up, man. I mean, the movie's supposed to come out in 2015 and these Star Wars movies typically take usually at least 2-3 years to make. So. I'm very interested in seeing how this turns out. Like, is this going to be something where it's a direct sequel to the original trilogy? And if so, or who is going to be back from the original trilogy? I'm talking about fucking, you know, the original Star Wars, Empire, Return of the Jedi. Are these people like Harrison Ford, you know, not impossible people to get at all, but if they go that route, you know, Mark Hamill, aside from doing voiceover work as the Joker or whatever, that guy hasn't done anything on screen in decades. And Carrie Fisher's pretty much the same thing. So how are they going to be involved in a movie that features them in some way? And make it be believable, and it's going to be a massive budget movie. You know, I don't know how it would work. I'm interested in seeing it. I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. I'm a fan of, you know, in one way or another, I'm a fan of all the movies. You know, I think that the prequel trilogy, that was one of those deals where nerds were too goddamn hyped up for it. You know, don't you agree? People were expecting it was like it was going to be exactly like the original movies were. That's not going to fucking ever happen.
I mean, to me, it was kind of, those prequel movies was kind of lame to it because you knew what was going to happen.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm not saying they're good.
Yeah.
By any means, like great movies. But the thing is, it wouldn't have mattered if they were great or whatever, the expectation, it would have never lived up to the expectation of it. Because it was almost 20 years in the making before, you know, any of that shit come out. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens with this. I think that, you know, Disney rarely fuck up anything aside from that John Carter movie, which I haven't seen.
I liked it. I mean, I do think that it was too, you know, it was a long movie, but, you know, I guess they couldn't cut it down. I don't know, but I just have a bad feeling that people are going to have a backlash against J.J. Abrams from doing so much. He's doing Star Trek. He's doing Star Trek 2. And then now this movie comes out. You know, it happened to Spielberg at some point where people were just like, you know, I've seen this before. It's just, different characters. So maybe maybe if it's not the same crew that he works with that writes the movies, it'll have a different feeling to it. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I'll just be interested in knowing what the story is. Like, what do they go with? Because it's
I think they're gonna have like Mark Hamill will be back as Luke Skywalker. He'll be like Obi-Wan in Star Wars, and he'll have some kind of it'll build off of that in some way.
Right.
Because there'll be some new threat from the Sith or something, and then he'll be the one that'll have to train the next generation of Jedi or something.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, I mean, who's the villain at this point? Like, everybody is dead that was in the original, you know, all the bad guys from the original.
Well, I mean, you could just, you know, they can...
Just make up somebody.
And then, plus, they have, like, what, 30 years of fan fiction that they could pull from if they wanted to?
I don't think you do that, though.
Oh, I don't think they will either, but I'm just saying, if in anything, they could just come up with... Just make up a guy. I mean, it's not got to be anybody... from the original trilogy. I mean, if you could even say that the Emperor didn't die and it's a clone or something of the Emperor, and that guy's still alive. He was whenever the Revenge of the Sith was, so they could come back as a clone of the Emperor or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I think that it's interesting to see that they're actually, you know, going forward with this and actually putting some big names up in this, so... Who knows? I mean, I'm sure this is going to be something where you're going to have two or three of the people from the original, and then you're going to have, they're going to try to introduce a whole new Star Wars, you know, crew, like a, you know, cast of characters, whether or not, like, you know, Leia and Solo have kids or whatever, they're going to be in it or what. I mean, well, I guess we'll just have to see. But I'm really interested in seeing how it turns out. I mean, I definitely think it'll be a huge improvement over the prequel trilogy. I don't see how it couldn't.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. That's one of Steve's emphasis. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I had down for the show, Steve. Is there anything else? Any other movies you've been watching lately that you wanted to mention that we could talk about on here? I think you saw the new Schwarzenegger movie? What did you think of it?
Yeah, I saw it Tuesday. I mean, it kind of reminded me of the old movies that he was in a way, but definitely wasn't flexing his muscle like he used to. So there's no shots of him working out or getting pumped up.
Right, but, well, he is old. He's like 64, yeah. 65 years old or something like that.
Yeah. And there were some shots in the trailer that wasn't in the movie, but I guess that's kind of par for the course.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a fun movie. I mean, it was a good afternoon movie. It's nothing, it's not as good as Commando or...
Stuff that you go buy on Blu-ray DF?
I don't know. I mean, it's just like everything else. Like, I tell myself, hey, this is just good... I know with Inglourious Bastards, I saw it and go, well, this is one movie I'm not getting on Blu-ray. And then, of course, come around, it was like...
You know what, man? Like, Inglourious Bastards, I watched it again not too long ago. It's really a slow... I mean, liked it a lot more when I saw it in the theater. And when I watched it on Blu-ray or whatever, I still liked it all right and everything. But, like, I don't know, it seemed a little... For Tarantino's stuff, it seemed even pretentious for his shit, like a lot of the stuff in that movie. But
I don't know. I mean, there are certain scenes. Of course, it's like, you know, individual chapters. But
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, yeah, it definitely is. You're not going to expect, you know, you go to a Tarantino movie, and you're not going to get like a lot of super action scenes. And there was a couple action scenes in that were.
Well, I don't know. Django is pretty damn action-packed.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Django to me is like his weakest movie, at least recent movies. I liked it when I watched it, but I just don't see a rewatch value for me, at least right now anyway.
I don't know, man. I think I actually think it was one of the better movies. Yeah,
I'm not sure what, it just didn't flow right to me for some reason.
I enjoyed it. I thought that...
I liked it, but it just didn't flow for me. Something a little off about it, but, I mean, it was fun, and...
I loved Samuel L. Jackson in it. I thought he was he was like the best part in it, I thought.
I wish they got one of those damn dolls. Motherfuckers are going for like $200 or $300 now.
I wish I could have got more than one of them.
What?
Yeah. I wish you could have.
Which one did you get? Did you get Steven?
I got Broomhilda.
She might be the lowest.
I got me a little mini whip. I'm going to whip her.
You going to whip her back?
Yeah. Like I did in the movie. I want to put her in the hole.
Oh, shit. You going to make you going to get an old cigar box and put her in it and put her out in the yard?
Yeah. But honestly, like, I thought, aside from maybe Death Proof, that was my favorite Tarantino movie in years. Like, I definitely liked it better than Kill Bill 2 and Inglourious Bastards, even though I like Inglourious Bastards, but...
Anyway. I actually like Kill Bill 2 better than I do to Kill Bill 1, which is kind of surprised me because Kill Bill 1's got all this kung fu stuff in it and all the samurai swords and everything like that. But there's something about Kill Bill 2 for some reason that I just really like a lot more.
What do you think about the rumor of them making a third Kill Bill movie?
Heard about it. It's going to have the little black girl grown up going after the bride.
Yeah.
I mean, if it ever happens, then I'll watch it.
They could totally do it too. I mean, because it's been
like the wait, they can just do it now with another actress.
Yeah, it's been like almost 10 years now. I'm sure the girl's like an adult at this point. So
it has almost been 10 years. So yeah,
that's crazy because you've never come out with the uncut Kill Bill.
Well, there's people online. There's something called, there's a whole community of people who do fan edits for movies. There was one that I got, me and Dana watched. It was called the Grindhouse version of Jaws. And they took Jaws and made it, you know, scratchy. And they added in parts from Jaws 2, added in parts from other movies. And it was really a trip to watch because it's really almost a different movie because they rearranged a lot of stuff. And like I say, they even used different footage.
Huh.
They changed the ending completely. There's a version of Star Wars, but they also have a version called something called Kill Bill, the whole bloody mess, which they combined both movies into one. But I haven't watched it. But
that's what I was saying. They were supposed to. I think they released it in Japan or something, right?
I mean, that would have been out somewhere, you know, somewhere there would have been.
No, I'm pretty sure they released it. It's called The Whole Bloody Affair.
I've never seen a DVD of it. Cause I mean, you know, they had that for people to import.
Man, I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure it came out and it's like full color and stuff for the first one.
You're thinking about Kill Bill 1 where they went to black and white, during that fight at the House of Blue Leaves or something like that. But and on the DVD in Japan, that's in full color.
Yeah, but I think that the Japan edition also have a box set that has them both in it, like, and you can watch them together.
Oh, you mean, I've never heard of that. They may have both movies, but I've never heard of anything that's been like edited together in one single movie.
I waited forever. And, like, I think it was Black Friday, they had Kill Bill Volume 1 on Blu-ray for $3.99. And I was like, fuck it, whatever, I'm going to go ahead and fucking get it.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that is ever going to come out here in the U.S.
Well, if it doesn't have to. As long as it comes out somewhere, we can always import it.
That's true.
But, I mean, I think that the Weinsteins, you know, if they want money, all they got to do is do that, and people will buy the shit out of that. So I don't know what their strategy is on it, but I don't know if they need money.
Well, they did do the Tarantino collection set, which is basically just all re-releases of the shit they already come out with.
Yeah, I mean, I like to see the documentaries on that. I heard they were pretty cool. Well, Dana might be getting that.
You'll probably be able to get it pretty cheap soon enough.
Yeah.
Because all that Weinstein shit, after it's been out a while, the price drops like crazy on it. So, anyway, Steve, I think that's it, Bubby.
Bye.
We've been on here for about an hour and a half. It's been good discussion, not too many yes or no's. So,
yeah.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Hi.
But, yeah, whenever Uncle Bill, I don't think he had a babysitter tonight or something, whatever the excuse is, we'll have you back on, Steve. You're welcome back on anytime. You know why?
Why's that? Because we're family?
No, because you're Plan B. Steve, the B Plan Benningfield. How about that? That's your new name. Change it.
Change it?
Yep, change it. But next week, Uncle Bill will probably be back next week, bitching and moaning as always. But I think we're going to have a couple of things to review next week. I know The Possession is one that I want to get.
What's that the other day?
You like it?
Not really.
Well, I might like it then.
Yeah, I might like it.
And The Nest, the new Blu-ray that's coming out from the great folks over at Scream Factor who's been sending us stuff, and I appreciate that. How you like that, Steve?
I think they should be sending me some stuff, but, you know.
Well, I mean, eventually, hey, if you if you associate with champions like Dead Pit, there's always a chance because you've gotten a lot of benefits from being friends of ours for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, however long it's been,
half a decade.
So, anyway, appreciate everybody listening. I appreciate the, you know, Steve helping me out on here doing a show. At least we have a show of some sort this week. Let us know how you liked it. This is more of a free-flowing thing because, you know, it's difficult doing a show like me and Uncle Bill does when somebody's not here. You know, you're just on Skype and you're really like, you know,
yeah. You
can't go back and forth as much. But I think we did a decent enough job.
I agree.
So until next time, Steve.
Yep.
We'll see you over at Dead Pit.
God to come.